A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be His holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hate sermons that start this way, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to read you a definition of hope. The noun from Merriam-Webster is desire accompanied by expectation of our belief in fulfillment. Expectation of fulfillment or success. That's one definition of hope. That what we believe will come to pass. That somehow something that we have been told will be how it is. That is the noun of hope. To have that is to have the expectation that something that has been told to you or promised to you or affirmed to you in some other way will ultimately be determined to be truthful. The verb is to wait for something to happen or to end up being true. What do we mean when we say that Christ is our hope? To say that someone is our hope means that they are the embodiment of that fulfillment. That they are the one who will bring about a promise and make it true. That we have the hope that our friend will actually bring the food to the camping trip. If you've ever gone camping with someone and they were bringing the food, you probably packed some sandwich meats, right? Just in case. Just being real. Because one of the problems we run into with people and putting our hope in most people is sooner or later they will disappoint us. Am I right or am I wrong? Sooner or later, everyone will let us down. By doing something or forgetting to do something or saying something or forgetting to say something. It happens. And it happens continuously and all the time. And then we have situations like this year where an entire year lets us down. Remember in January when you were all excited about what 2020 would bring? Making resolutions, planning parties, thinking about Christmas or thinking about Thanksgiving or thinking about Valentine's Day or all of the normal things that we go through in a year, thinking about being able to be in church and all the great things we had going on, thinking about seeing children getting beds at the end of the school year before they went home, thinking about seeing things come to fruition that have felt like promises in our hearts, and then the next thing you know, there's 25 of us here in masks. The promise could seem broken. Our hope could seem shattered. Our hope could seem challenged. It is that kind of darkness that Isaiah speaks of when he talks about us needing to have light dawn on our darkness. The darkness of unfulfilled dreams and unfulfilled hopes, whether they're for ourselves, our family, our nation, our faith, our church, whatever they're for. In every case, sooner or later, our hopes can seem unfulfilled. What are we to do when that happens? What are we to do when we turn our news on and our leaders are talking about a dark winter? How do we stand against rhetoric of that kind? How do we stand up in strength and in hopefulness with a voice that cries out, there is a God. There is one who can bring freedom and relief. There is one who can restore light to darkness. There is one who demonstrates love in such a way that it cannot be questioned. There is one who will not disappoint us. There is one in whom our hope will not be put to shame. How do we do that? In an age like this, when people are saying they're becoming comfortable in their pajamas and they don't know if they will return to the fellowship of the saints or not. How do we do that in an age when people are forgetting that the reason we gather is to be nurtured and strengthened for the work that Jesus has given us, not to receive another commodity or another service from a professional person? How do we move forward in an age when everything seems challenged and everything seems to make absolutely no sense at all? How do we take the next step out of all this? How do we broker ourselves back into a position where we look not to politicians for hope, but remind ourselves that our hope is in the name of God? Scripture would seem to serve. Or maybe we could consider darkness in different ways. Maybe we could lighten it by remember that chicken that was afraid of the dark. You know what you call a chicken that's afraid of the dark? A chicken. Fear of the dark, fear of uncertainty, fear of challenge, fear of all those things is a natural inclination for us, but it's an inclination that God would rescue us from. It seems to fit human nature, but ideally human nature is for the heart and the mind and the thoughts to be turned to God and for its life to be filled with joy. The purpose of a human being is to be filled with the love, joy, hope, and faith that God has poured out on us. The purpose of a human being is to reflect the glory of God, not to cower in fear and darkness. But we've been told it's just human. But what if Christ really is our hope? What if we look to Him and remember what He has done? What if we look to Him and remember when He marched into Jerusalem knowing that He would be nailed to a cross and killed? What if we remember Him and His convictions and His faith in the Father, knowing that whatever came to Him, the Father would vindicate and make right? I wonder, could we look to Christ and find hope? Could we look to Christ on the cross and remember the resurrection that comes 3 days later? And find it affirmed for us that whatever deaths we are going through right now will be met with resurrection as well. That whatever losses we are suffering, God will raise something up. That whatever hurts we are experiencing, God will bring healing. That whatever anxieties we are experiencing, God will bring peace. Some of those promises I want to share with you just from two different parts of the Bible. From the Old Testament and the New Testament, because we wouldn't want to pretend that the people of God from the first covenant had no faith in God as their hope. The psalmist said in Psalm 31, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Why? Because the Lord is faithful. Over and over and over again, God had proven God's self to the prophets and to the leaders of Israel. To King David and Solomon, and to all of those peoples whose name flow off of us because we remember putting their little images on the felt board in Sunday school. All of those people were real people who had real stories and real challenges and real darkness in their life, who found themselves wallowing in the light of God and undeterred by all of those who would steal their hope. Their hope was unbreakable. Because God is unbreakable. And so the psalmist says, be strong and take heart, not because you're strong and you're brave and you have courage, but because your God is great. Because God is good. Not sometimes, but when? All the time. God is faithful, Paul says to us today in this Corinthian text. God is faithful. In Psalm 39, the psalmist was struggling with desolation and hurt, his heart broken by everything he saw in front of him, by the unfaithfulness of the people of God. And he said, but now, Lord, what do I look for? What assurance can I find? And his answer, my hope is in you. The certainty of the promises that you have made being fulfilled are in your own being and character, he says to Almighty God. It's the being and character of God to be faithful. God will not fail us. An 18-year-old prophet said to me on Facebook not terribly long ago, God will not fail us. In Romans in chapter 5, Paul says these words, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in suffering because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And I got to believe that somehow in the church right now, with all that the church is being pressed upon by and sat upon by, that there's a lot of persevering going on and a lot of character building going on. And I'm hoping that means there's a lot of hope going on. Because Paul says that whatever we go through, that God goes through it with us, and the ultimate fruit of whatever suffering we might go through will not be dismay, but it will be hope because of what Christ has done. And so he says, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. The seal of the promises of God is the Holy Spirit poured out into your heart to be your strength and your courage and your remembrance that in God there is hope no matter what lies before us, behind us, or around us. Then Paul later says in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is the hope that Paul is talking about? The expectation that God will do what God has said God will do. That there will be new life in every death. That there will be perseverance in suffering. That our suffering will produce character, and that we will be moved closer and closer to the fullness of hope in God, that the kingdom of God is coming, and that the Son of Man will return and restore all things and make all things new. And so Paul reaches out to a struggling church. He's received a letter from these people about some people arguing about their baptism, some people arguing about what they can and can't do with their bodies, people arguing about everything, people arguing about who's more important, people forgetting the purposes of what they do, people forgetting who they were. And so he writes to them, to you who are the assembled of God, the gathered together people of God, you sanctified in Christ Jesus. He's saying made holy, set apart by God through what Christ has done for you and your faith in Christ. To you, he writes this, to you who have called to be holy, to be different in the world, to be a people who have hope. Not just in science and human beings, but in Almighty God. A people who are willing to bend the knee and cry out for God's help. and for God's promises to meet us in our darkness. And He says to us that we are together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds us that we are not alone in our struggles. That through Christ we are joined to other people whose purpose is to struggle along with us. People whose purpose is to bear our burdens, to come alongside us and help us carry the pack, to come alongside us and help us go the extra mile, to come alongside us and give birth to something different in us than the death that the world threatens every day. Reminds us that we have hope in God because God has joined us together for the purpose of fueling each other's sense of hope and our belief that God is faithful. And so we come together to tell stories of faithfulness as we gather around Sunday school tables and Bible study tables, as we gather around tables to share a meal, inevitably something good that God is doing in the world or in our lives comes out. And the whole body is edified and people are reminded that indeed God is at work. And He reminds us that we don't lack any spiritual gift we need as we eagerly wait for Christ to be revealed. He means that everything we need to survive what's going on right now, we have. And the bedrock of what we have is the promise that God is faithful. That God will meet the needs of God's people as they serve and wait for the Lord. But He says something specific there about waiting for Christ to be revealed. And I think what Paul means is so the world sees Him for who He truly is, as the King of kings and Lord of lords, as the one who truly is the hope of the world, the one who will set things right, the one who will fill the hungry and give peace to the suffering. And then He gives us the promise we need to hear. That Jesus, the one who makes all things new, that Jesus, He says, will keep you firm to the end. Our tendency when things get dark is to become infirm. During the season of Advent, as every day clicks along, the sun goes down a few minutes earlier. Until we get to December 21st, which will be the darkest day of the year. And so as we move forward through the season of Advent, we light another candle to remind us that Christ's light overcomes the darkness. He will fit us for whatever comes. He will make us firm until the end, so that we will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then what may be the most important promise in this text, Paul says, God is faithful. God is faithful. That is our hope. Our hope is rooted in that. That God is not like a human being who turns their back when the road gets hard. God is not like a human being who turns their back when we let them down. God is not like a human being who becomes judgmental every time you don't live up to their expectations. God is not like a human being who puts aside relationships over petty issues. God is faithful to the end. And no matter what comes against us, whatever health problem, family problem, COVID problem, work problem, whatever problem, financial problem, nothing that comes against us can stand against God's might and power. And God is faithful to you, dear ones, and faithful to the church, and faithful to all creation, and continues to work and reach out and bring everything under the umbrella of the grace and lordship of Christ. God is at work, even in this mess. I wonder, are we watching so that we can join in? Are we watching to see where God is working in this so that we can go and join God in whatever God is doing? Or are we content to sit around in our pajamas and wait it out? God is faithful. The question that comes to us this first Sunday of Advent is, do we desire to be faithful to God? Or do we treat God as if God is our servant? We don't deserve that God would be faithful. Nothing we have done can merit God's ceaseless work on our behalf. But God loves us and pours out His grace upon us and meets us in our needs regardless. Because that is who God is. Generous beyond our ability to dream. Loving beyond what we need. Faithful. And so He is our hope. That is the one who has called us, Paul says, into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So dear ones, in this first week of Advent, as our world faces darkness and prophets of doom and gloom, lift up your voice and remind the world that God is faithful and that in Him, there will always be hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.